I think I got it. Wow, what an entry. I ask that we've already had prayer, but I want to ask God one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you allow me this opportunity to say your message of the offering. I pray that you would touch the ears, Lord, that they would hear what you would have us to hear today, in Jesus' name. The word I got from the Lord for today was participation. Participation means the act of taking part in something. So I said, wow, that's a huge word. How do you go about it? So I'll start with Genesis and see where we wind up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." Who planted the garden? God. I want your participation today, so we'll make this hopefully fun. "And there he put the woman who he had formed," or I'm sorry, "and there he had put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground of the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." How many trees were in the midst? Two. The tree of life, the tree of good, of knowledge of good and evil. "Then the Lord God took the man," down to verse 15, "and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it." Man got to participate in God's plan. The action of taking part in something is participation. Down to verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So God said, do not eat of it. Don't partake of it. Have no participation in eating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Down to verse 18. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone.'" This was God's plan. God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam. God brought them all to Adam to see what he would call them. "And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." So we're seeing here God is allowing Adam to participate in what he's doing. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. "And the Lord God said, 'Cause a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." Notice God's making all this, God's bringing it to Adam. "And Adam said, 'Now, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called Wild Man,'" because she was taken out of man. This participation in naming everything was given to Adam. God's creating and Adam's naming. "Then the serpent tempted Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." What tree? The knowledge of good and evil. Everything was good before this. Always opposite of the right thing is what the serpent does. Genesis 3, 6 and 7. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. So something happens. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Wrong participation. So what happens from this precipitation. Down to verse 17 says, then to Adam he said, because of what the participation was, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So by what happened there, there was a result from participating in the wrong thing. Verse 22 and 24. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand, I want you to catch this, and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. How long would we live if we ate that tree? Forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. The tree of life is guarded. So we couldn't eat of it because we'll live forever if we eat of the tree of life. So I want you to know that there is good news. If we go to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelations 22, it's talking about the New Jerusalem, Old Testament people of Israel, and New Testament church together as one, now the people of God. And it says in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Down to verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work, or you could say his participation in the action of taking part in something. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Paradise regained. To be a part of, take participation from us to be born again. I know I'm not a salvation message here, but I want you to see our participation has a huge impact on where we are participating. The next one I want to talk about is the parable of the Great Supper in Luke 14, 15 through 24. And I really like this one. Remember when they used to call you for supper? You wanted to participate in that. Verse 15. Now when one of those, this was Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. And then in verse 15, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, you could say to participate, the action of taking part in something, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there's room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. He wanted participation, the action of taking part. So participation was the supper. No participation was no supper. John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, if we participate, we have actions of taking part in something, we shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Revelation 22:16-17, and the spirit of the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So come participate. And you'll never hunger, never thirst. Take water of life freely. Now I'm going to bring you to the examples of participation in how we use our finances, wealth, and seed. Luke 12:16-21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasure is wealth in deposits. Where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when we focus on ourself, we're a fool, and we focus on God and others, we become rich. 1 Timothy 6:18-19. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Luke 6:38. Give, the action of taking part in something. And it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Let's participate in the right things. From the beginning, God wants us to participate. And today I would say that we have an opportunity to participate in this offering of what God's doing and what God's building. And ushers, if you could serve the people. Those that are online, if you see what's on the screen, you can participate in giving. We thank you for that. I know I took us on a journey, but the journey was to show you that participation matters, and what you put yourself into makes a difference. We heard in testimonies of participation in the wrong thing, what it led to, and what their life is today is just from their participation to say yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this offering, for the participation of your people. I pray, God, that the blessings that your word says would come upon them, comes upon them now. And I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you that you allow us to participate in your work at all, that you allow us to be a part of your church, of your bride. I'm so thankful to be here today. I'm thankful for what you've done in my life. As was said in the testimonies, I feel so unworthy of where we are. And we just thank you for what you've done in our lives. I thank you for what you're about to do, what you're going to do in your kingdom, your church, your people. I give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Amen. God is good. Okay, one person believes God's good. God is a great God, and he's got great things for his people. Amen. Great things. Today is a great day. Amen. And I say that not just in faith, but you got to realize that every day is a great day because every day is a day that you can decide that it's going to be great. Amen. Do not let the day dictate itself. You dictate your day. Amen. By what you say, by what you believe. Amen. I choose to have a great day. I don't let the day define me. Amen. So even today, as Rick was sharing on participation, you must participate in your day. Amen. You must get up out of your bed, go do what you need to do, what you know to do, and you make your day come to pass. You know, when you're sick or you don't feel good, you don't get out of bed, the day isn't what it could be. Because you're not who God intended you to be when you're sick. So sickness is not from God, amen? Because that doesn't give you the best day God has for you. Amen. So you can make your day. That's not the title of my message. The title of my message is, My Ground Makes the Difference. My ground makes a difference. That may sound a little odd to you, but Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke a lot about farming. He spoke a lot about planting. He spoke a lot about flocks. He spoke a lot about animals and how we live and how we operate in society. He spoke in parables about the kingdom of God. Why? So people could understand how his kingdom operated. Amen? And today, that's what I'm going to talk about, the parable of the sower. But before I get to that, I want you to understand something. We here at New Freedom Church, we talk about sowing and reaping pretty much every time we get together because we realize what we sow, we shall reap. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So we realize that what we do, amen, with our day or with our life, that's what we're going to receive in return, right? Galatians 6:7 says, Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. So this is all talking about what we must do, and then we get something in return. But I'm going to shift gears a little bit on you today. Believe it or not, it's not going to be about outflow. It's going to be about inflow. What do I mean by that? A lot of scripture talks about what we must do, and then we get a desired result, right? So what flows out of us will come back to us, amen? Isn't that what scripture says? What you sow, you will reap. But I want to shift it to the point of inflow. What you allow to come in is what you're going to allow to come out. What comes into your heart, into your mind, into your life, into the ground of your heart becomes who you are. Amen. Amen. It's easy to preach about sowing and reaping when you give. You come on Sunday morning, you give in the offering, you're going to reap a harvest from that. That's great. Your words you sow. Loving people, you're going to receive love back. Hating people, you're going to receive hate back. All right, that's sowing and reaping. But I want to shift gears for you to understand that the basis off of what you sow bases off of what you receive in to begin with. What makes who you are. When you receive Jesus Christ, it changes how you operate towards others. You can love your enemies because you know God loves you. You can love your brother and sister because you know God loves you. But if you never get that inflow, you're just like the world where you operate how the world operates. So when somebody slaps you or gets mad at you, you retaliate right back. That is your outflow based off of your inflow. Amen. You are sowing based off of what you reaped. So we as parents, you know, with our children, we want to inflow the things of God. Why? So they mature and grow into men and women of God. To be in society and function, not as society, but function as men and women of God. Men and women of morals and standards and values and character and integrity and everything that the world is pulling away from our society. The lawlessness. Amen. That's all over the place. We as men and women of God, there's a standard that we stand off of, and it's the Word of God. Amen. So that inflow affects your outflow everywhere. But you need to realize that just getting born again and saved doesn't make everything better. For everyone that's born again and saved here, you should be able to say, I realize that. It's not roses just because I go to church on Sunday. It's not roses just because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yes, your spirit man can say that, but that doesn't mean your flesh and your mind and thoughts are all perfect after that. Your addiction that you had prior to Christ, you still might need to work with after Christ. All right? And He will help you overcome that feat or that mountain. Okay? Or that molehill. Whatever it is, you have a part to play. Your ground, your heart, what it takes in from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. That's scripture. So what is on the inside is what comes out. So if you partake of alcohol and alcohol takes over your body, what happens? You end up speaking things you normally, your thoughts would say, yeah, I better not say that. But when your body is influenced by that spirit, you are loose with the lips. And you'll say whatever's on your heart or whatever comes to you. And I know that based off of past experiences. You say, oh my golly, Pastor, you drank a beer. Yes, I drank many prior to knowing the Lord. Many. But those days are gone. Praise God. The Lord delivered me from it. Amen. And it gets to the point where you don't have to worry about your past or what you did. Why? Because when you're living for the Lord delivers you from things and nothing's hidden anymore. It's all brought to the light. Everything's brought to the light with Christ. So you don't have to live worried about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it because your heart is born again and your heart loves the Lord. Amen. So you speak godly things and glorious things. Again, this isn't my message. I'm getting there. Amen. Matthew 13. Verse 3 is where we're going to go. I want you to realize that so often, I can't get away from it, so often everybody out there is looking at believers, how they live, how they operate, what they speak, and they're quick to judge them. And even in the church, judgment, it's quick. You know, oh, you took a misstep. We marked you. You bad person, you. Right? Judgment comes in, even in the body. Even in the body. But I want you to see something here that as we talk about the parable of the sower, you're going to realize that you have the power to receive the seed of the Word of God and for it to produce a wonderful harvest in your life. But the ability for the seed to produce is based off of you. And a lot of people don't want to hear that message. They don't want themselves to have any requirement or participation in the kingdom of God. They just want God to cover everything, do everything. God's a sovereign God. He's all powerful. If that were the case, everybody would be saved, healed, and free. Everybody. There would be no sin if God was sovereign and everything was perfect. Everything's not perfect. Just look at ourselves and look at each other. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect. Let's get to the scriptures. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Verse 3. There's four types of ground that every person operates in. And you can operate in some good ground in some areas and some hard ground in other areas. Meaning, an individual, you can have freedom and have fruit of the kingdom operating in an area, and then you're working on other areas that the ground's not as good. God's still plowing. All right? God's still doing a work in that area. Amen? Can you say amen to that? Because none of us are perfect yet, and if you think you're perfect, you need prayer. Amen? You need prayer. Because none of us are perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. Verse 3. Matthew 13. It says, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Every one of you has ears and heard exactly what was said. Notice here, there's seed and there's different types of ground. All right, the seed is the Word of God. Guess what? The seed is perfect. It's not the seed's issue. The seed is not the problem. You can take a bag of seed. I'm a past dairy farmer, past farmer, all that. I know about seed. I know about germination. I know about all these types of things. Growing degree days and you name it. I'm trying to forget about it, but, you know, it's in there. All right? I did it long enough. It's in there. All right? But you need to realize that you can take a bag of the same seed, planted in one seed in every state, all 50 states, and you're going to get a different harvest on the same seed because the ground's different in every state. You understand what I'm saying? The ground is the body of Christ. The ground are the people. The seed is the Word. The seed's perfect. Germination 100% every time. It's the ground that dictates whether the seed germinates and produces 30, 60, or 100. Or gets choked out, or gets taken away by the enemy. It's not the seed's fault. When you realize this parable, you'll never blame God another day of your life. Because the Word doesn't mess up. He does not mess up. He's 100% perfect every time. And I'm not saying you're a mess up. What I'm saying is we need the perfect one in us. Because we're different types of ground. Amen. And you can be raised in a home that has poured godly things into you and you have pretty good ground. You can also be in a family that raised you in a religious home that had no relationship with God, but you had a form of godliness but denied the power. That's a type of ground that can only produce so much. Relationship with Jesus Christ allows your ground to be good. Amen. Till that comes, your ground will not produce the potential that it really has. God gives you the potential to grow a big crop. to have a great marriage, to have a strong family, and to live free from the curse. Amen. It is God that does that. Amen. And God produced you in me. So that means the potential for good ground is there. Yeah. Amen. I don't care. You can take the chief sinner. You could take Paul, how he persecuted the church. People in the church would say, and they even did it in Scripture, they're like, I don't know about this guy. He persecuted people. We don't want him in our town. We don't want him in our church. But God said, he's good ground. Because I made him, and I have something for him. That, right there, church, allows us to see every individual and say, there's potential. God has a plan for that person's life. I have not given up on them. It's not over yet. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too big. You're not too small. You're just how I want you to be. Yeah. Receive my word, and I'll produce something in you. Yeah. Amen? So your ability to allow God in is your ability to check your ground. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what goes on here. And that's what you're going to see if you move on down to verse 18. It's going to explain. Notice how good God is. He doesn't just give a parable. He explains it. He explains it. And you'll see here that every situation in your life, when you look at the ground condition, you'll look at why you're producing what you're producing. Good or bad? Good or bad? If the ground is hard, you do not produce a good harvest. And as a past farmer, I'm telling you, when the ground is hard like it is right now, with no moisture in it, because there hadn't been any rain, there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the planter. But that ground is rock hard right now. And there's farmers not even planting soybeans right now because there's no moisture. They don't want their seed to die. Why? Because the ground isn't fit to sow. Right? So we see it out there. Let's understand it spiritually. Our ground condition is everything. And as a believer, you are open for a ground adjustment. You've made the decision that, Lord, I'm going to allow you in to help me out. And he'll tend to your field. He'll tend your ground. And he'll make it produce miraculously. Testimony. Amen. Many testimonies around here of running the other way. Running from God. Shouldn't even be married. Should be 6 feet under. But God changed the ground, and the production started happening. Production started happening. You may look at your life and say, I don't have any hope. God doesn't look at you that way. God says, you may feel hopeless, but I have hope in you. And I'm going to produce a harvest in you. I look at my own life and think, yeah, I was the black sheep of the family. I was the one that went to school in New York, partied my little heart out. All right, the one that went out on the weekends when my brother and sister stayed home and they were the good ones. You're the preacher? Really? You're the preacher? Yeah, God's got a sense of humor. Amen. God's got a sense of humor. And I'm totally good with it because the Lord changed my ground. Amen. He was faithful enough when my ground was terrible, full of thorns, hard, didn't want anything to do with God. God showed up and changed the whole atmosphere. Amen. He changed everything. His seed was allowed in one Sunday morning in the Nazarene church down the road outside of Chestertown. The seed was allowed to be planted. And that was the start of where I am now. Where my family is now. Where my children are now. Not children. I got two. Amen. I know I got two. But by allowing my ground to be used, allowed production to take place. Amen. The moment I stop, the moment I don't want my ground to be used, nothing gets planted. Right. The farmer that says, I'm not planting this year, he'll never see a harvest there. He will, but it won't be the harvest he wants. Exactly. It'll be a harvest of weeds. He'll have a field full of weeds, guaranteed. So if you don't tend your garden, if you don't tend your ground, something's going to grow. But it's not going to be what you want. And people in life, if they do not submit themselves to God, they wonder why things are being produced what's being produced. It's not that the godly see. It's not God, you know, making that happen. It's you allowing it to happen and not allowing God to come in and start his production in you. That may sound harsh, but I see it even in my own life. There's areas where the ground is good. There's production taking place. But there's other areas that need some work. They need some work. Why? Maybe I believed a lie. Maybe I thought a different way, went a different way, perceived something that it should be this way, but it wasn't exactly what God wanted. Well, I'm reaping what I thought it should be instead of what God says it is. Confidence in my life. Believe it or not, confidence is an issue I deal with. Speaking in front of people was an issue I dealt with. It's changed now. Why? I changed the ground. I allowed God to do something in me. I didn't think I knew it all. All right? Pride. That's hard ground. When you live in pride, you live in offense, you're shutting God off from producing something in your life. All right? You're shutting your spouse off. If you're controlling, I'm telling you, if you're controlling, you are limiting your production. Indeed, every area you can look at. If it is producing, what is it producing, and why is it producing that? Ground. Every time. Is God planted, or is something else being planted in my field? See what's being planted. You'll realize what you're going to produce. Every time. No one can run from this. I don't care if they're president or a pastor. Doesn't matter. Pastors got to deal with their ground. And some pastors have a hard time dealing with their ground, and then things come up that they don't want. Issues where they're out of ministry now because they didn't deal with their ground. And nobody, get this, nobody has the power to dictate your ground but you. The enemy wants to trespass. Maybe your parents want to trespass, but you are the one that dictates your ground condition. Nobody else. God gives free will, and he gave each and every person the will to choose. Choose life or choose death. Amen.
Amen.
All right, here's the explanation. Not my explanation, Jesus' explanation. Verse 18. Matthew 13, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When someone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, is then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed, by the wayside. So the first one is wayside. That's kind of like throwing seed on this concrete. There's no ground for it to go into. What is that? That is lack of understanding. Have you ever spoke to someone and they're like, I don't need God. I'm just going to go to hell with my friends. That's where my friends are. That's wayside seed. The enemy instantly lied to them. And the seed can't even do anything because they made a decision. I don't want God. Atheist. Wayside seed. The ground is not available. It's like the farmer coming up to a tenant. Can I rent your property? Not for rent. That's what's taking place. Not a seed can be sown in that place. Instantly, it's gone. That's wayside seed. In the basis of that, does not understand. Then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. You need to realize there is an enemy. And his job is to kill the seed. So anytime the words being limited, struggle to try to get to church, struggle to read your Bible, it's the enemy trying to keep the seed from being planted. All right, I'm too busy to go to church on Sunday. Enemy trying to keep the seed from being planted. All right, I don't have enough time for my kids. That's the enemy trying to keep you from what God's design is. All right, so you'll start seeing things in life. Why is it so difficult when I want to make time to read my Bible? The dog pees on the floor, my phone rings, my kids have an issue, my car breaks down. Everything. All hell breaks loose when I spend time to set time aside to read my Bible. The enemy, he is trying to keep you from the seed because the enemy knows that if the seed gets planted in good ground, it has to produce. God's word does not return void. That means when the seed goes in and it's planted, it will produce. 30, 60, or 100-fold return. It will produce. But the enemy, he knows. So if you're saying, well, I'm a believer and I face persecution, you're going to see why. You face persecution because of the seed. The enemy does not want you. Persecution is coming against people. Trials and tests come against you to get rid of the seed. So it does not produce a kingdom harvest in you. Every single time. That's what sin does. Sin enters in. Why? To disrupt the seed from growing. Seed is like putting, I don't want to use that term because most of you may, gramoxone, which is a herbicide that burns the leaves. So it doesn't matter what the plant is. If that gets on the leaf, that thing's roasted. I mean, it turns brown quick. It's like Agent Orange in Vietnam. I mean, you spray it, it's like burn. All right, it's like spraying the wrong chemical on the wrong plant. It just will totally burn it. You may have drove through some fields. I won't name them. There's farmers around that they plant a seed, but it doesn't get conveyed to the person that's spraying what type of seed it is, and they spray it, and it's not. It does not go well. Meaning, it was supposed to be Roundup ready corn, but it wasn't Roundup, and they sprayed Roundup, meaning your corn's done. All right? That's a problem. You're putting something in that's affecting the growth of what's there. That's what the world does. That's what the enemy does. He's trying to spray your seed. He's trying to spray your ground, and he's trying to disrupt what's trying to grow. So that's why when the Lord speaks to a new convert, they're excited about God. They ask Jesus into their heart. They're like, man, this is awesome. And then persecution comes. They're like, what's this all about? Where'd this come from? I thought everything was great. Well, it is great. This thing called life still happens, where you got to be able to function and live for God and deal with things, see them for what they are, and keep moving on. Don't get stuck just because you face an issue. God knows what you have need of, and he makes a way of escape every time. The Israelites, they wanted to turn. God parted the Red Sea. Time and time again, the Israelites, they wanted to run. Nobody wanted to fight. But little David picked up his rock and slayed the giant. He didn't base what he saw or the persecution or how big the giant was to dictate whether he was going to fight or not. He had the fight in him. He had the fight in him. He had the seed in him. Amen. Let's keep going. I believe, even though you're quiet, I believe it's speaking to your spirit. I really believe you're getting something out of this. Amen. Number 2, verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places. So there's some ground that's stony, meaning like the driveway out there has stone on it, all right? Stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. I'm going to stop right there. That's the new convert. That's the one that comes to church and is like, man, that's a good message. I got something out of that. And then they go out, leave the building, and their tire's flat on their car. And they're like, man, I thought God was good. What's up with this? They received it with joy, but instantly something came against what they just heard and what they received. That's the enemy. He's trying to steal the seed. I got ahead of myself on my sermon here. But that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to steal it. So why does that happen? Stony ground, the seed goes in through the crevice and germinates quickly. But it doesn't have any root. So when something happens, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, it can't keep growing or it dies. The sun comes out and burns it up because it doesn't have any moisture. Doesn't have any depth to it. You can plant seed in it. Just because it comes up quickly isn't always good. Just to give you kind of an analogy, when we used to plant corn, we used to plant it at an inch and a half. That was like the depth to plant corn. Great. Now they tell you plant it 2 or 2.5. I'm like, that's like, it's going to never come out of the ground. And it takes like a week and a half to come out. But the reason in it, it gets the roots deeper to start with to get you a better crop later. But it takes patience and time for it to come up. You think, oh my golly, my corn's never going to come up. But then, boom, it shoots through. And you're like, praise God, the corn came up. But the adjustment allowed the roots to be more stable. So when the winds blew, the corn could stand. You need to get the word deep on the inside of you. That's part of it. When the ground is stony, the seed can't go deep. Amen. When it's stone, and you can be saved and have stony ground in areas. Areas where you're like, I don't want to give that up. No, that's the rich young ruler. Ask him how it went. I did this. I did that. Well, sell all your goods and follow me. Well, I don't know if I can do that. What is it? That's stony ground that he dealt with. And he got a production from that. And it wasn't what he wanted. So stony ground, it's received with joy. It had, the seed has a place. It wasn't rejected, but it wasn't deep enough to handle the persecution of life. So stony ground is persecution. Remember that. Stony ground is persecution. Notice what it says, though. It says in verse 20, or where was it? Anyway, it was received with joy. The end of verse 20. Receives it with joy. Joy has the ability to keep your seed planted or not. Why do we talk about joy a lot? We talk about joy a lot because that allows you to be open for seed to be planted. When joy keeps coming in, as soon as you lose your joy, what happens? Your mindset changes and you feel, you go down, don't you? Your emotion, your feeling, everything about you decreases when joy leaves. When you have joy, you're not worried about what's around you. You already know what's in you. Amen? Keep it together. You have it on the inside of you. The inflow of joy keeps your perspective positive. Keeps your That's why joy is such an important thing to keep steady in you. Joy. It's received with joy. Amen. And here we go, verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Why does tribulation and persecution come? Because of the word. When God shows up in your life, persecution's going to come with it. And I would be a liar if I stood up here and said, you receive Jesus, your life will be changed, and it'll be good from this day forward. That's a half-truth statement. Your spirit will be good, you're going to heaven, but life still is life. And you're still going to face persecution. You know, when I left the farm and I went to Bible school, it's like, why are you doing that? You know, what's wrong with, you know, there was persecution because the seed that was sown. All right, so we must realize that just because you plant corn and it comes up and it looks good and there's fields that look great, but I'm telling you, with it not raining, it's not good. It's affecting the yield. You need the moisture to get growth. Amen. You need the Spirit of God to get growth. You need these things. That's different sermon, different time. Let's keep going here. Again, verse 21, he who has no root in himself, you need to be rooted and grounded. When the wind blows, Jesus even talked about building your house on sand is not a good thing to do. Why? Because when the wind blows, it's not going to be sturdy enough. One of my first sermons I did was on the three little pigs, believe it or not. I'm a funny guy, very easy. The gospel is a simple message, amen. Three little pigs. If you can understand the concept of the three little pigs, you can understand the kingdom of God. Amen. Build that thing strong. Build it on the word. Allow the Spirit of God to help you. You'll live a fruitful life. Amen. It's that simple. Yeah. Bye. Message is done. See you later. You got what? That it's that simple. Build on God's word, and God will handle every situation for you. Amen. Let's keep going. Verse 22. It says, now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So here's the third one. It is ground full of thorns. If any of you gardened for a day, you'll know that thorns will grow anywhere, and especially in good ground. Just because you have good ground means you're going to have good weeds. Right? Amen. Anybody that gardens or has fields or farms realizes when they have good ground, they're going to have healthy weeds to deal with. All right? But you don't sell the good ground and buy cruddy ground just to have cruddy weeds. No, you deal with the thorns and you grow a good crop because it's good ground. A farmer rents ground based off of the soil type. Why? Full of organic matter, full of nutrients, water holding capacity. I could go on and on. All these things produce a good crop. Nobody wants to rent the Sierra Desert. Why? It's bad ground. It's not going to produce. Not even thorns. All right? So realize that good ground. When you are born again, you become good ground. But you're going to deal with thorns. You're going to deal with things that grow in your life or have been planted, seeds planted early on. Maybe somebody said, you're not going to amount to anything. Well, that's going to produce in your life, but you got to be able to deal with it and say, you know what, that's a lie of the enemy. Let's pull that thorn out of my life, right? Yeah. A parent, friend, teacher in school, somebody may have said something to you that you're not good enough. Or you compare yourself with others. Those are thorns that rise up in your life. And if you feed the thorns more than you feed the word, they're going to choke out the word. All right? And it's subtle. You plant your garden, you go on vacation to the beach for a week and come back. All of a sudden, miraculously, your garden's full of weeds. Right? It happens. That's life. You must be able to say, you know what? This is the seed I want. This is the seed I don't want. I need to tend my garden. What is the title of the message today? I have to look because I forgot. My ground makes the difference. So you're going to have thorns, but you must deal with them. You must see them for what they are. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So the fruit's being produced, but it can be choked out because other things are taking priority. Other things are stealing the moisture. Other things are stealing the fertilizer. Other things are stealing what the seed needs, the kingdom needs to produce. So what is that? If we want to break it down, that's our flesh. That's our feelings. It's our emotions. It's our desires. Those things in life. The things that feed our flesh. Time. Time. I realized that when I started ministry, cows and ministry were hard to work together. Why? Cows take time. And lots of time. 3:30 in the morning, time. Christmas morning, time. Amen. There's some dairy people in here. They get what I'm saying. All right? Time. And it pulls away. If everything is times and tasks, this, I need to do this, 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 this. Where's God? There's a whole lot of thorns before you get to God. Amen. Oh, I got to do this, this, and this. I got to travel and do sports with my kids every weekend. Where's time for God? Where's the fellowship with the brethren in the church? Time. Who makes that decision? You guys do. Every person makes a decision for their family. What they're going to do, what they're not going to do. Ground. I can't make it any plainer. I mean, this is about as simple as it gets. What you decide to do day in and day out is going to produce what you want. Whether you want it or not. Where you spend your time and where you focus is what you're going to produce. Every single time. God is not a liar. It will come to pass. He cannot stop the thorns from growing. You do. You do. I ride past people's gardens. I'm like, what do they? If the garden looks beautiful, what do you know? They spent some time there. If the garden looks horrendous, you know also. They didn't spend some time there. Right? Amen. Even in our families. Even in our family. When I started ministry, I put a lot of time in the ministry. And then I was with cows as well. So it was like my wife always said, I'm in competition with 300 other females. Well, she was 301 because when they called, I answered. it was a family business. It's what I had to do, I thought. But the Lord, nothing against farming, nothing against cows. All I'm saying is I had to prioritize based off of the seed and what the Lord spoke to me. Amen. And it caused me to leave the farm and do what God asked me to do. Amen. And the farm is blessed because I left. Amen. And it's not because I was a bad worker. It was because I was obedient. Amen. I got to get it all out there because I don't want you to think that I was running the farm down and, you know, taking all their money and miserable, didn't show up for work. No, I was a good employee at Patterson Farms. But the Lord, as you're obedient, it blesses what's around you. Amen. And I'm telling you, you are by being here this morning, you're an encouragement to those around you. If I have a garden and my neighbor does really good with his garden, it pushes me to do better with my garden. Right? So by you being faithful to God, it'll push your spouse, it'll push your kids, it'll push your neighbor, it'll push your coworker, because they'll start wanting what you have. And not saying you're doing it to show off. I'm not meaning that. What I'm meaning is you are an encouragement to those around you. When you start walking in the blessing of God, others will desire it. And you're tending your ground and God is producing out of your obedience to follow him. And that's where it leads us to verse 23. We're almost done. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Notice the level of change of ground. Wayside, stony, thorny, good. There's levels to ground. There's levels to ground. And when you get to good ground, there's even differences in good ground. 30, 60, 100-fold. Notice what that said. What does that mean? I asked the Lord that, and this is what he said to me. Different giftings, callings, and anointing produce different results. It's kind of like different hybrids of seed produce differently in different good ground. All right? So you can have good ground in Iowa that takes a better variety and works better than a variety here on the shore that's a little sandier ground. It doesn't make our ground different. It doesn't make a person bad if they only produce 30. That's what the Lord has for them. And they're blessed in that. And they're going to get the same reward for it. Same thing with the talents. 5 talents, 3 talents, 2 talents in Scripture. Each one of them were faithful. What did Jesus say to each one of them? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. They all received the same reward because they were faithful and obedient. Right? So don't get caught up if your neighbor is like doing some great ministry and you're scrubbing, you know, toilets at your church. Bless you, brother. That day just blessed me. I got to give kudos to a man that took care of something when it needed to be taken care of. But the outcome, God sees the good ground and he'll produce. So 30 is not better or worse than 100. You're still good ground. So just make yourself available to what God has. He'll produce a great harvest in your life. But do not get caught up in judging others about what they're producing. Don't feel condemned if somebody's producing something that looks greater in man's eyes than what you're producing. Do what God has told you to do, and he'll produce what he says he will produce for you. And you'll be happy, you'll be free, you'll be content. Some people are called to Bible school. Some people are called to pastor. Some people are just called to serve. Amen. Same reward. Same reward. Just be open and obedient. You're tending your ground. All you need to do, if you get anything from this message today, just realize, I need to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I need to do my due diligence within myself to renew my mind, yeah. Stay faithful to God, and do exactly what he tells me to do. And guess what? You're well on your way to good ground. You're here on Sunday morning, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You're in a good place. So don't leave. If you leave here and you get smacked by something, I'm not saying like literally, but like an emotion, a thought, contrary to your good, that's a lie of the enemy. Because God created you good. Everyone else is a liar, the Bible says. If God says you're good, everything else is a liar. So, guess what? If God says I'm good, and I got good ground, and I'm obedient, I'm doing what I need to do. I don't need to listen to what someone else says. Amen. Because so often we receive things in our life that are not for us. Or we try to force things in our life that God doesn't want us to have. Think about it. Think about the corporate ladder. That's man's way of saying, the higher I get, the more successful I am. Well, that's their definition of success. My definition of success is being obedient to God and for Him to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Come on in to the joy of the Lord. Live in eternity with me. Yeah. To me, that's success. Yeah. I'd rather live for God than gain the whole world and lose my soul. Yep. So that's a decision I have to make based off of what I perceive and see in Scripture, that I'm going to follow Jesus all the days of my life. And I could care less what anybody else thinks about me and my walk with the Lord. Amen. And I say that not arrogantly. I say that I'll receive correction. Amen. My wife and I pray. We talk a lot. I receive correction from other leaders in ministry. But someone that does not know the Lord is not going to speak into my life. I am not going to receive words from somebody that does not know the Lord. All right? Amen. Hopefully that encourages you. Amen. I don't know if I should end on that or not, but that's all I have to give. So that's what I'm giving. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He's a very, very good God. And He's got great things for each and every one of you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to pray for those online. Thank you for joining us today. We love you. We thank you all around the world, especially those in Haiti and India. We love you guys. We're praying for you in these times, Lord. I just ask for a blessing upon their life. Everything that they have need of, Lord, I thank you that you see it. You'll meet it. Above and beyond, abundantly bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Those here today in our presence, I know the Holy Spirit is here. I know He ministers. And we just give Him opportunity to speak to each and every person's heart. The word was brought forth. The word was sown. The ground is here. How you receive it will dictate your future production in life. There's some here that may be going through things, struggling through things, concerned about things, dealing with situations that weren't always in their control. It wasn't their decision, but it was brought forth in a way that they were part of it. Meaning they didn't have the control to make the final decision. There was other factors. You may be going through a time where there's negative factors that are involved. God sees that. He knows that. And He's right there with you in the midst of it. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. His word says, submit to Him, resist the enemy, and He'll flee. There's nothing too big for God. And when you know God, there's nothing too big for you. You are an overcomer because Christ overcame for you. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You may be tested right now, but the Lord says, I got your testimony. I have your victory. It's in me. And if you're here today, you never asked Jesus into your heart. You've heard about Him. It sounds good, but you don't know Him personally. You've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I'm going to give you the opportunity today. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord. You asked Him into your heart. You remember the day you even did it. Joy flooded your soul. And you're like, I know Jesus is Lord and Savior. But the world has just come in like a flood. Maybe you backed away from God. Maybe you pushed away from God. Maybe you bought a lie about God is not happy with you. Or He's judging you. Or He's against you. Those are all lies of the enemy. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. And His word says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So it's a confession to ask Jesus into your heart. And it's a confession to repent and confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Today is your day to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, to clean your ground, to clear the ground and allow the Lord to bring about a glorious, glorious harvest. If you fit in either one of those categories, every head bowed, every eye closed, just lift your hand right where you are. Never asked Jesus into your heart, would like to do so. Or pulled away from God, became cold, lukewarm, and you want to renew your relationship with the Lord. You want to draw back to Him. You're hungry for God after hearing that there's potential for my ground to change. And there's potential for a great and mighty harvest. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you are. Don't be ashamed. God has great things for you. But it's a decision to say, I want God. I trust God. God is going to show me. God is going to show me the path of righteousness. He's going to show me the way. He's going to make the way. If that's you, just raise your hand. Right where you are. Just lift your hand up. Right where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to pray for you. Each and every one that lifted their hand, I thank you right now. You can repeat this prayer. It works for both situations. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again on the third day. Jesus, I believe that you're coming back again for me. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. I thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can look at me now.